I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly here at Hike Like Woman before, certainly not on the podcast or our YouTube channel, but on my vehicle, I have disabled veteran license plates. Why? Because I served my country. And as a result, stuff happened. And so I have a VA disability rating. And the other day, I pulled my vehicle up to the gym. I got up out of my car to go work out, and someone approached me and they said, "Oh, tell your husband thank you for his service to our country." And I said, "Well, I'm a veteran and you're welcome." But it was just a reminder to me that we don't see a lot of what goes on in people's lives. And as I was talking to Dee a few weeks ago, this really became apparent to me and really made me aware of how I am reacting to and treating other people. And so I hope you enjoy my conversation with Dee today. Dee's amazing. Her story is inspiring. I'm so proud of her for overcoming so many obstacles in her life, from being sexually assaulted to working to overcome severe ADHD and autism and cognitive, physical, like Dee's had some significant challenges, and I'm really proud of her. And I hope that you enjoy my conversation with her today. And if you want to learn more about her and all of the amazing women that you've been hearing about on the podcast and on the YouTube channel who will be presenting at our upcoming summit, be sure to head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com, for all of the information there. So for now, please enjoy my conversation with Dee. Dee, tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
I have quite a mixed background. So, I started my living as sort of a quasi independently. I was born with quite severe conditions, mm-hmm. and one of them is severe autism and ADHD. So mm-hmm. it was very difficult for me to live independently. But I've managed to get to, I was good academically, and I was in a sort of like a safe bubble where mm-hmm. I could like quasi independently. Yeah. And I thrived. My research was in the reproductive physiology. So it was a little bit of a part of cancer research, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Yeah. But so the downside of that quasi-independent life was that I didn't realize I'm so vulnerable, mm. and I got into pickles. So unfortunately, I got into abusive marriage. I was raped mm. twice, and I became a sexual and domestic violence survivor. But I didn't sort of, it didn't, I'm not sure how to explain, but I didn't, it did affect me, but it was like a kick out, a sort of a step up. I ran away and from the abusive marriage, and I was a step up to live independently. Mm-hmm. And what also helped me is that I have all the sort of my independent living was based on works and aesthetics of J.R. Tolkien. So, yes. And so I was like, not only nerd, but also, you know, maybe not living an imaginary life, but just sort of, using that, you know, mystical adventure to reframe my life. Otherwise, I would not be able to, you know, to leave my home. And. Yeah. So when I ran away from my ex-husband, you might believe or not, but I joined the police. So to sort of, help others, difficult or traumatic, experience mm-hmm. and also to be safe. Mm-hmm. And I became a police detective, and I thrived in those roles, but. As in Dee's life, bad things happened again. And I was sexually assaulted by a uniform colleague.
Oh my God.
No, and the when I gathered courage to report it, instead of getting help and uproot, you know, that sort of behavior, I was very naive, mind you, and I believed in any lip service, and I really believed they might do something about it, but I didn't. And instead of, I became a whistleblower, and I was, you know, a persona non grata. And so, and this is from that moment on, sort of a 4 years of persecution started. And I'm not using this word lightly.
Yeah. So
on 4 years, on almost daily basis, I was sexually harassed and disability harassed because I was living with quite a few disabilities. Mm-hmm. Eventually my health, I just went down. I developed complex PTSD, mm-hmm. and the trauma also made my other conditions worse, and I developed other conditions. So I started having autoimmune conditions, so neurodegenerative conditions, which like tremors, body spasm. I was bedbound, and also my cognition went. I started dribbling, so I had speech impediment, but that even made it worse. So thinking, writing was bad, and also fibromyalgia, so I was in pain. I realized I was born with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome as well, but fibromyalgia made it worse. So like it's a progressive condition as well, which I didn't know. I knew that I was born with deformed legs, which got better. But so the trauma caused all my body like shut down, and maybe not shut down, but like made it worse. So yeah. I started having like every cold or virus possible. So my immune system went, and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, OEDS, causes me for my joints to dislocate, like not dislocates fully, but like partially. And it's like 7 times a day, a constant. So I need to be careful, like when I'm, you know, when I want to reach for a cup of coffee, like, oh, my shoulder went. Or, you know, when I walk, my ankle will go or hip will go. So so running, no running whatsoever. Walking was very difficult. Coordination, I was like falling down as well. And anything would just cause me pain. And it was quite dangerous as well because, you know, when your body just like joints dislocating, and eventually I reached the point like the nadir of my mental health and physical health, and this year, and I fell down the stairs because I had a full body spasm, and this was like, oh God, this was just too much. I could have died. I only injured my foot, which is a silver lining. But what it caused a massive strain on my relationship with my partner, who is neurodivergent too, and it was killing him. So we broke our engagement. I lost my house. I started having suicidal ideation. So it was really, really bad. And I thought that really scared me. And I thought, oh my God, what I'm doing, the way I'm living, is wrong. This is just no. I want to leave my life, and this is bad. So I went off sick. I packed. I got rid of most of my possessions. I packed my tent and just set off for to walk one of the. So it's Southwest Coast Path, which is the longest and the toughest English national trail. And it ran along atop the highest cliffs in England. So it's a bit tricky when you think that, you know, it can be quite rugged trail. And sometimes it was literally, you know, above the crevices So it was quite dangerous. But, and also being on my own with, you know, my autism and ADHD really, because of that, I really struggle with self-care or, you know, again, even though I was police officer, I still, you know, still like I'm very naive. So very vulnerable to, you know, to being abused or taken advantage of. But I did set off and I finished it. And I know. It took me 71 days, during which I was wild camping as well, mostly wild camping. And a few things happened. So one thing that I really didn't want to be on my own. I feel really lonely and isolated. Mm-hmm. And I used Instagram. I didn't have many followers. It was just like a small community of people
who
books and nature. And I started vlogging. And people started willing me on, and it really helped me. But also, I grew maybe not bolder, but more confident in vlogging. And I started gathering, you know, followers, and we and people started, you know, Dee, you helped me because you inspired me to, you know, to face my own problems. And because I was so honest about, you know, about myself, I didn't pretend to be a hero or like, you know, adventurous or anything. Yeah. I was just super clumsy and, you know, and really struggling. And, you know, my vlog wasn't any good or just really raw, if that makes sense, both edit-wise and script-wise. So, we created a community on Instagram, which is like a safe community where we start helping each other. With mental health, with everything. And yes, and also I met so many people on route who helped me, like let me just stay with them or book me a hotel when I was like really exhausted, or also my tremors eased up at some point. I had many, many adventures, involving nature, like badgers were playing with my tent and farting in my face when I was in my tent. My tent was like baby, I was like, and so it was an amazing experience. But what it does, it just, it made me to realize that you can do anything you want, but you just, so I've learned that emotional flexibility, that it's, you know, all those slogans, you can do anything, they're not really exclusive, and not everyone can do everything, because when you have so many conditions, additionally I've got endometriosis, and it's not only extreme pain but it's also dangerous during the time of the month, because I had to have sometimes medical help, because, you know, the I'm going to be really candid, because we need to speak about this. Bleeding, menstrual bleeding, sometimes so strong that it's quite dangerous. So, plus the pain.
Yeah.
I think elders can be really exclusive sometimes, you know, men or really, you know, fit people, whether men or women. And we're not taking into account people who've got disabilities or, you know, learning disabilities, neurodiversity, or even, you know, they may be carers, they may have a family or not enough money for, you know, to just to sign off and go, you know, to Patagonia or so. And I decided to start to, empower people to accept their vulnerabilities, accept their obstacles. Yes, you do. And it's absolutely fine, but it doesn't mean you have to, you know, you have to stop or not to pursue your dreams. Because since childhood, I wanted to be an explorer, but because of all my conditions, it seemed to me impossible, but it was, and it is. And I'm going, you know, to Iceland in the next year. And so you can do anything you want, but you just need to adjust. You need to be honest with yourself what you can do. And if you can't do something, think, how can you do that? Or maybe you can change something or adjust something.
Mm-hmm.
So, once I finished it, I decided to quit the police and just start living the life. It's good for me, and I call others to do the same, because when, you know, in our times of consumeries, everyone just chases things rather than live according to seasons or nature, or just, you know, we stopped moving, or we stopped thinking about nature. But we are nature, and if we are sort of a turn out of it, we get unwell. So, but my main message is, because of what happened to me, you know, one might think, oh my God, it's trauma. Yes, I'm traumatized, but I want to use my trauma, reframe it to as a source of strength and to help others. So I've written a book and about what happened to me and about the journey. And by writing, I want to give a voiceless voice, people who are underrepresented. And I've been working with local organization who is tackling a woman's rights. So, I want to bring, or maybe not bring myself, because myself I can't do anything, but helping, giving my experiences others as a study, I can help bringing about the change with what we call in England VOAP. So it's a violence against women and girls. So, I want to help doing that. And, by founding that the Introverts Adventure Club. And I want to, empower, especially women and people who are not such extroverted that would go, to outdoor groups or, maybe not really ready to, to climb up the mountain, but, to get them outside. And people who are like, oh yeah, I'm on the wheelchair, but you're going outside. Think of it as adventure, and so I want to redefine adventure as any endeavor with unexpected outcome. So it can be anything really.
Yeah.
And if you're autistic, you are absolutely terrified of anything unexpected. And I think if you reframe it, oh, that's an adventure, that will help, because it helped me. So my ADHD makes me, I don't know when to stop.
No, I'm Dee. First of all, I just want to say that I'm proud of you, because you look at autism, ADHD, domestic abuse, PTSD, trauma, autoimmune disorders. Like that's just a little bit of what you've been through and what you're able to persist through. Holy smokes, Dee. I just thank you for, here's what's amazing. You are not sitting at home feeling sorry for yourself. You are helping other people have experiences like you had, because you know that they're powerful and can change lives. Holy shit, Dee.
Thank you. I do believe in God, and I'm maybe not the most religious person. I wouldn't say I'm religious, actually, but I do believe in God, and I think things are happening for a reason. Whether it's God, universe, I don't know, but you can look at what happened to you. Oh, things happened to me. Or you can think, well, no, things happened for me to do something, to use it.
Yeah.
So, and as you said, you can sit and cry and feel sorry for yourself, think of yourself as a victim. And and don't take me wrong, I think this is a natural part of trauma. You have to have to have a grieving period.
And
I was really depressed when nature was always I always struggled with my physicality, if you like, but I was always out there in the nature. And when I couldn't do that, when tremors prevented me from taking photographs or painting, I was extremely depressed, plus the pain. But it just, I had to lose everything to just, I was like, I have nothing to lose now. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm free. And so my message to people is to not to get to that point, to get the lives into their hands and just pursue their dreams and whatever they want. And, the perseverance, it's not going to be easy. And that's why I've written this book, because a lot of books, especially like guides on how to change your life, it's, you have to do A, B, C, D, and, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be great. And no one puts what you have to go through, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to walk through the storm to get to the sunshine.
Yeah, exactly.
And one thing that's really struck out to me, Dee, is you're being so honest and transparent and vulnerable about your story with sharing it. That takes a lot of courage. Where does this courage come from? Where have you found the courage to share your story?
So I, for many years, I pretended not to be disabled. Mm-hmm. And I ever literally observed how people behave, and I behaved the same way. Or wow. And masking is very known for people with autism and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
But it went a little bit further for me. So I would just beat myself up for not being able, if you like, or yeah. I have no those conditions, or I'm a strong person. I have no vulnerabilities, and mm-hmm. Lying to myself mostly, I became only more and more traumatized, because people, would either sometimes not know that I'm vulnerable, and
yeah,
they wouldn't even want to take advantage of you, but they would do something that I wouldn't understand because of my, autism, and mm-hmm. I would get into difficult position. And eventually I ended up abused, and I just thought, oh my God, this is not working. So I just started to be honest with myself and others. And when I started sharing just a little bit of, my struggles, people were like, oh my God, me too. Mm. And that sort of helped me help them. And I started sharing more and more and more, because people are not alone anymore. And I didn't feel alone.
Yeah.
I realized maybe those things happen for a reason. Maybe, mm-hmm. I need to find a meaning in it. And this gave me, I wouldn't say like healing from but gave me strength. And it was like, when you start pushing a wheel, it will just take a momentum and gain momentum. And this was the same with accepting who I am, accepting vulnerabilities. And I think this was my biggest, most important message during my blog. Just accept who you are and be yourself. So I can go and beat myself up for not being able to do this or that, or just accept, well, I can't, because this is how my disability works. And mm-hmm. And this same comes to, to so traumatic experiences. It's exactly that sort of this lends itself to any experience, from just struggling socially to, to becoming a victim of rape, not only once, but twice. Mm-hmm. And that also, me speaking about this, people, when we sort of stopped, feeling so emotional about this, detach ourselves from emotionality, we start thinking, well, why that happened? Mm-hmm. So perhaps we can, perhaps by my experiences and talking about this really, in a candid way, I can prevent other girls from getting into similar situation.
I hope so. I'm sure you are. You're shining a light on so many issues. Dee, what's your presentation going to be about at our summit?
So I was thinking a lot about what I will talk about, and I wanted to talk about quite a few things. So I want to talk about the outdoors and inclusion. I want to talk about a woman's safety as a solo traveler. And I thought, I went through other presentations and I thought, well, people actually we'll be talking about this, uh-huh. and why not to just to talk about my story, because I think it will be I'm not an expert in outdoors per se, I want to become one, but I don't have so much expertise as other people. But what my expertise is just not stopping.
And
you know, and I think I don't want to sound like over conceited, but I think the perseverance, it's something that that's my expertise, because when I look back at my life, I could back, oh my God, I went through so much. Or I can just look, yeah, you know, I've been constantly falling down and crawling and crying, but I was getting up every time. Yeah. And this is something I am really good at. Whatever happens, I'm like, yeah, I will cry, but then I will get up and it'll be okay. So, yeah. And I think I want to, that's why I decided to title my, my talk, just as I titled my adventure and the book. So the unexpected journey, adventuring against all odds, because this is a story of, you know, what happened about my walk, and it just brings, you know, the, of not only the message, but also, of, you know, issues on the inclusion or exclusion for that matter, and, solo women travelers, but in a context. Talking about, you know, just a soul subject, because I think the soul theme, I will leave for, you know, to experts to discuss, because they will have more, you know, examples to discuss, like anecdotal, you know, experience, whereas mine is just like, you know, I've got, really, I did some outdoors before, but that was, you know, that was, supported and organized and it's totally different. So yeah, so I will be talking about my experience. I hope you don't mind. And it's not going to be like self-centered.
Oh, that's perfect. We all have so much to learn from each other, and we all bring different things to the table. And honestly, the more as I've been putting this conference together, I want that diversity amongst the presenters. And I haven't sought that out specifically, but I'm really amazed at the diversity that the presenters are giving. I spoke with a woman this morning who has a son who can't walk and is nonverbal. Yeah. And she talked a lot about just eating outside with her child and how that's been really hard, like just to even find a trail he can take a wheelchair on, you know? I have another call here in about 5 minutes, but I wish I didn't have to cut our conversation short, because I have a lot to learn from you about what I can do personally to make sure that Hike Like Woman is being inclusive and that I'm personally being inclusive. Before we sign off here, where can we go to learn more about you? Where can we follow along on your adventures? Where can people join your Introverts Adventure Club and all the things?
My Instagram, it's a main sort of a beacon, I would say, because I vlog on Instagram. I post my photographs and I do like mental health checkups with my viewers. I do have a website, but I'm just working on a little bit tweaking it, so to the website to incorporate the Introverts Adventure Club. This is in progress. This is a new
thing. That's good.
Literally, you know, just quit the job and I'm recovering still from you know, I have quite a few health problems, so I'm just I'm doing everything on time, plus I've just submitted a book proposal, so there is a lot of things going on, but within my profile, I've just added my website and Instagram, and I think Instagram will be the best place to always, you will always get me, catch me. Even if I will get any, you know, any other project like YouTube or anything else, Instagram is my sort of a beacon, if you like, where you can always find me.
Are you at Decruit on Instagram?
Yes. @d.crude.
Perfect. Okay. We will send everybody there. Mm-hmm. And Dee, thank you so much for talking to me today and sharing your story and also being willing to just open up and talk about this at our summit. I can't wait to hear your presentation and to learn more about you and if I can support you in any way. When your book comes out, if I can help you promote a book launch, just let me know. I'm here to help.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really grateful.
I can't wait to read Dee's book. And she's empowering, she's impressive. And that is why she was speaking at our upcoming virtual summit. And if you want to learn more about her and all of the amazing women who are presenting at our summit, head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com. There you can find information about our speakers. You can find our schedule of events and you can find out how you can attend our virtual summit. This is going to be the largest conference, virtual conference by and for outdoor women. And I'm really excited to bring this to you. So head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com, to learn more. Thanks so much. And I'll catch you next time.